It's like interesting. I must say that it's very. It's the whole idea of not. The if we looked into the halachas, we learned them not such a long time ago in the issue. The halachas of the halachas of the 9 days. The underlying rule is that it's about hesach hadas from avelus. It's about forgetting about the mourning period. We should remember the mourning, and that's the source why we're not allowed to do washing and meat and wine. And it's because nowadays it's not. You know, there used to be the washing to wash clothes used to be in the washing day, the Wednesday or the Thursday. Ladies used to go out in the river, or used to even in the later generation, when it wasn't by the river, but they had a day that they were busy washing the clothing, and then afterwards scrubbing it with soap and scrubbing it and washing it, and afterwards eventually hanging it up. In Yerushalayim, until not such a long time ago, it was the Yom HaKvisa, it was the day of the washing day. And it was Heschadas Mavelus. It would take a person's mind away from mourning. You're busy making fresh clothes, nice, you feel good. But now this is not relevant. All it is, you push in, you squeeze it in a machine, you press a button. Why is it Heschadas Mavelus? Why is it, it's not Heschadas Mavelus? It takes a second. Similarly, also meat. I always felt like that, and I just recently found a kula. I just recently found a code for that. Just mamash last week, it always bothered me that meat, not to eat meat in the olden days, when you didn't eat meat, and you didn't eat wine, there was pretty little you could eat. Yes, you could eat a bit of fish, and there was a bit of alternatives, but it wasn't the main source, supper, or the main meal, used to be meat. So you'd have to go more bread. But there was no, and if you didn't have wine, the only alternative was water, we spoke about in Hilchos Brachos. If you don't have wine, you can have water. There was nothing else. There was nothing else, really. So the fact that there was no meat and no wine, and that was a real halach. But nowadays, you can go through a week without meat without much problem, right? I'm saying with so many alternatives. No, I'm saying you agree, right? It's not so gishmak, but we can manage. It's not the same. I mean, you can go through so much. There's so much alternatives. So it means it's very, very, very watered down. Very, very watered down. Very, very watered down. The only thing that is not so watered down is the rechitza, which nowadays we find much more difficult to, the showers and to clean ourselves. That's much more difficult for us because in the Magen Avraham says in the Poskim it says if you have makpit every Erev Shabbos to have a shower, if you, every Erev Shabbos then you can be mekel Erev Shabbos chazon. So that sees that not that, that's obvious that not everybody used to have weekly showers. So we see for me that's probably a bit harder for us, but. But it's just it's something which is something to think about. Okay. Rabbi, so we're up to page 264. We're going to be completing Bezer Hashem the halachas of Koshe and Mate today. To finish off, and then after this we're going to be starting Simon Shin Yud Ches, which is the Mevashel B'Shabbos, and we'll be going to the halachas of Bishul on Shabbos, which is a new topic altogether. So we're now up to see if. Seif Vav, page 264. After having learned about the Aniva, the bow, we can now proceed with alochas of Seif Vav. Koshim chevel b'fnei ha-para, b'shvil shelo yiseitzei. That's koshim chevel. You have to put a rope as a gate, the rope. As a means for the cow not to go out, not to escape. So it's like you pull a rope one side to the next. Koshin chevel, you'd have to tie a rope b'fnei ha'parah in front of the cow. Pishvil in order shelo yiseitzei, that it should not go out. V'afilu b'shnei rosh ha'pesach, even if you tie and you attach this rope on both sides, left side and right side, yet it is mutter to do so. V'loi chashinah, we're not concerned. Shema perhaps, yati roi sha'echot, we're not concerned that perhaps the man is going to untie one side of this rope, v'yetzianu de'echsham, and the cow is going to exit that way, v'aniyach roi sha'echot, koshin is going to keep the other side of the rope tied up. In other words, if I tie it, gartel please. Gartel please. See, amazing, very good shkoich. So if you tie it, if you've got the cow inside the fence and you tie it on both sides, we're saying that it's allowed to make a bone both sides and tie it. Now why is it mutter? We're not what's the chiddush? Obviously, we're not talking about permanent knots. We're talking about regular knots. She allowed to do it. Why? Because we're not concerned that to allow the cow to go out, you can just undo one side. And then barring one side, the cow can go out. We're not concerned that by doing that, the remaining side, the remaining attached side, is going to be a kasher shel kayoma. We're not concerned you're going to keep it like this on a permanent way, and therefore, having retrospectively made a permanent knot, because the cow can go out with just one side undone, and then the other side is going to remain a permanent kasher, permanent knot, which will be also. We're not concerned. So, although we're not concerned. So the Shulchan Aruch is matir. You're allowed to make a non-permanent kasher on both sides, and we're not choshesh that perhaps you're just going to undo one, because normally you will undo both, and allow the cow to go out like this. Thank you very much. I'm not implying cholile das is good for cows, yeah, but shkoyach. Okay, that's Sivov. Let me just go through the words of Sivov again, just to have a clarity in that. Koshin chevel, you're allowed to tie a rope pifnei apor in front of the cow, bishvil in order shalo, it states that the cow should not exit. Ve'afilon even bishnei rosh ha-pesach, even if you're tying it on both sides, right and left side of this Pesach, of the entrance. But Baruch Hashem, we're not concerned. Shema, perhaps, yati rosh ha-echot, you're going to undo one side. Ve'yitzenu derech sham, you're going to let go from one side only. Ve'aniach, and he's going to remain, he's going to keep, he's going to leave. Rosh ha-sheni, the other side, kosher tied up. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Lamed adds the following words: Bifnei Rosh HaPesach the Mistamer probably Yatir the Mistamer Yatir Shneim. He's probably going to undo both of them. For Lo Yehave Keshel Kiyom, it's not going to be a Keshel Kiyom. It's not going to be permanent, and therefore it's going to be undone, and it's going to be fine. Sif Zayin, which is the final Sif of Sif Shin Yod Zayin Metaltenin. This is a kind of rope which is a weaver's rope. You're allowed to take this lekosho be'evus uvaporo. You're allowed to tie with a special rope which is a weaver's rope. You're allowed to take this lekosho to tie be'evus muzzle uvaporo of a cow. We're not concerned. We're not concerned here also. This is a muzzle, and you're not concerned. Normally you'd undo both sides. We're not concerned that just by tying them on, we're not concerned you're just going to undo one of them, and the other side is going to remain of the muzzle, because really it can eat. If you just undo one side of the muzzle, the cow can eat. So perhaps you would say, if you have this muzzle, maybe you're going to say that we're concerned you're going to undo only one side and the second side is going to remain permanently. No. We're not concerned. We're not concerned you're going to undo only one of them. But with regards to another, we're not lost to rope. No. It's only with regards to a muzzle and a cavalry. But if you are undoing a muzzle of and you want to undo the muzzle of a cow and you put it on another cow, if you want to undo it and put another one, it's going to be allowed with any rope. It doesn't make a difference what kind of rope it is. Okay. Now, extremely relevant. We'll be now be learning Bezer Hashem Dalachas with regards to cooking on Shabbos. We learned in Siman Reish Nun Gimel a bit the halachas of Chazora and Atmona and Shia. We learned about that. Here, we're going to be learning the halachas of cooking per se. What are we allowed to cook on Shabbos? Well, we're never really allowed to cook, but at times, halachas are different cooking on Shabbos. And interestingly, in the very beginning, we're going to be learning that cooking is not only relevant to foods, but cooking actually can be also with regards to non-foods, such as, when can one be over on Bishul with non-foods? Any suggestions? Non-foods. Edible. Yes.
Or when you're cooking dyes, you're cooking
Yes. Yes.
Baking charcoal.
Very good. Yes. These are all examples. Or mevashel. That's right. To dye, the colors. Yes, they need to go through a process of a cooking process. And here, this is a perfect example, a Mishnah's example, that by cooking something, which is, although it's non-food, It's your Oivon Bishul. So this really raises a very important point, a key point in regards to Mevashel B'Shabbos. What is the definition of cooking on Shabbos? What's the definition of Bishul? Because the wrong definition would be, you're making something edible. Because we're just seeing now, various examples, telling with non-foods, you can be on Bishul. So obviously the definition of Bishul is not to say making something edible, because that's not the definition. Must be another definition. So what is the definition?
Changing the status.
Oh. Changing the status, keep going. Very good. No, that's correct. It's absolutely correct. One function to another. Changing status of an item.
Through heat.
Very beautiful. Very good. Changing. Rebbe Ezra said, changing the status of an item through heat. That's a very fancy definition and a very correct definition. More on that. Bezer Hashem, Mishneh Berurah, Sifkot Aleph. We'll see soon. Very relevant. I'll tell you an example, for instance, would be, if you're taking a dry, if you're taking a, if you get, I don't know who walked home on Friday. Did anybody walk home on Friday night and get something wet?
Yes,
okay. We're all in the same boat, yeah? I don't know if your suit's got something wet. So now if you put a suit like that to dry, and you put it, I'm sure your heat things were not on, but just assume your heat is well on, or you put it on the boiler, or any, you've got like a heating in the house, and you put this very wet suit, trousers, coat, shoes, whatever it is, and you put this next to a heater, next to a heating source, that also will be a very perfect example of being mevashel medoraisa, probably. Because you are evaporating the water, which according to some poskim, is you're reaching out to lettuce boy, and then it evaporates, you're probably over on bishul. This is a bit of a controversial one, we'll speak more about that in due course. But certainly according to some poskim, this is bishul.
You put the coat in the linen cupboard.
Pardon?
You put the wet coat in the linen cupboard.
Yep. If it's, is it going to get the Yatzel Edz boy?
No. It's rare that it will get to the Yatzel Edz boy. The actual coat.
Where are you putting it?
Radiator
will definitely get.
It won't necessarily be because
if you're just letting it evaporate in natural.
Materials aren't particularly good conductors of heat, are they?
Yeah.
The actual material might have reached Yatzel Edz
boy. Yeah. But the water would. The water inside, the absorbed water would stomach reach.
Inside the garment?
Yeah, the absorbed liquid will probably, it's going to evaporate because of, it reaches a certain heat.
The fact that it evaporates means
probably.
It hits the
yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Okay, so let us see more, because there's more examples, and the Rambam brings out examples. I'm starting with the first two words of the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Yud Ches Din HaMevashel B'Shabbos, Kikun Shabbos, and now Shulchan Aruch's word is HaMevashel B'Shabbos. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is now going to go into a side topic, which we shall not be discussing tonight. We're going to leave that for tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, which is what happens if a person actually did cook. I'm going to leave that for tomorrow. But I want to enter the discussion of the Mishneh Berurah here, defining what Bishul is. And let us hear what the Mishneh Berurah said in Sifkon Aleph over here. HaMevashel, Echon Mevashel Samaychel. Somebody who cooks a food, Oy, or Esamonim, this is the dye that you mentioned, Oy HaMechamer Esamayim, or somebody who cooks, or heats up the water. I'm going through the brackets. I.e., af, although the maim roilish sia, water is drinkable, below bishul, without having cooked. That's an important point. Even if you're cooking something which is edible prior to the cooking process, like water, you can drink water before it's been cooked. Nevertheless, chayef. So it doesn't make a difference. So obviously, it's nothing to do. It's really, really important. This he does, as you mentioned, he has nothing to do with making something non-edible. Edible. What's another example? A carrot. A carrot can be eaten if it's not cooked. If you cook it, yeah, it's still chayav deraisa. So making it something non-edible to edible is not the definition. It's really, really important. I think that some children's books get that wrong. Some very basic halacha books get that wrong. It's not the definition of bevashel. It's not new making something edible.
Because I was going back to the eating of clothes after it's wet.
Yeah.
Why don't you put it outside in the sun?
Yeah, good question. In the sun, in can't rather, could be that it's bishul. Yeah, could be, yeah. I think it could be that special, yeah. You see, anyway, over, because we discussed earlier that to hang up,
yeah,
so whether it's an anywhere problem.
On Shabbos, you're hanging out in the garden.
Yeah, that's anywhere also. But even never mind that itself. Special could be there's a bishul involved there. So I'm not sure. It depends on the temperature and on the weather. But it could clearly be there. Yeah,
even
could be.
The back garden, with the fence back garden, it's still be a maritime issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. V'adin cholov milk also to pasteurize milk on Shabbos is chayv deraisa. Mikol mokum chayv kivin mishtabeach al tei bishul. It gets better. The process enhances the food, and it's chayv minot hora. Hechod oifer is a pasim. If you bake bread, Gemara in Shabbos says chayv deraisa. Akoyt inyan hechod hu. It is all one matter, one issa. Dafiu min bishul. Baking, cooking, it's all the same thing. So this is actually an important point as well. Roasting, baking, cooking, it's all the same. Grilling, all about the same issue. No. You're not... Oh, I see.
But still... Is there a difference fundamentally?
There's a physical change, I suppose.
The defrosting process and the cooking process.
It's a very good question. The answer is clearly that defrosting is not bishul. Defrosting is not bishul. No.
Based on these
I think obviously the answer, the reason for that, it's a very good question. But obviously the answer is that it's about the process of heat, the process of heat. It needs positively the process of heat. And actually, we're going to be learning what heat is the threshold of an issa. And to defrost, you don't need positive heat to defrost. It just needs to be...
Put the color on top of the urn.
Yeah.
That's
so...
Kind of thing,
so the problem there is, if there's a problem, it's going to be because of the ice, you're cooking the ice. But the actual defrostation process, defrosting process, thank you, that wouldn't be a problem. To defrost, actually, you don't need heat for that, right? If you put it on the kitchen table, it's also going to defrost.
But by putting on the heat, you're accelerating the process.
Yeah, accelerating, but correct. The problem would only be if there's ice there or there's other substantial items which are going to be cooked. The matich says Mishneh Berurah, matich echol mina matches culture. That's very interesting. Metal. Rabbi say, metal, if you heat up metal, you're chayev on bishul. Or ya mecham is a matches, if you heat up metal, ach shdasek echeles until it gets red, you're chayev on bishul. Has it told us in Vashel. Sharei bechimumoy umirakoy, because by heating it up, it gets soft. Shiroi lesaknu velasem enu kli. So the Gemara's example is if you take a metal item and it gets red hot through heat, through fire, that is bishul as well. Gets soft. For merapet of a kosher, if you're making something which is hard, you're making it soft through heat, that's chayev bishul as well. I'm skipping a few lines. He brings about China. How do you make earthenware? How do you make china? How do you do it?
Fire.
Pardon?
Fire.
Through fire, absolutely. That's bishul as well. If you take earthenware, you go through the heating process, that is bishul as well. Yeah. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds at the end, that's also I believe a Rambam, that take a wet piece of wood and you put it in the oven. You put it in a fireplace. A wet timber, wet piece of wood. And you are heating it. Not burning it, you're heating it up. This is chayav bishul as well. So basically we're learning it's not only food, but whenever you're taking something which is going through heat and it changes its substance through heat, this is the definition of bishul. Pardon?
How did that change? The wet wood?
It's much harder now. Can a person
dry himself?
Yes, because it's not affecting a person physically. When you're just drying the wet which is on you, with no in with wood, it's not like that. With wood, you've got a wet piece of wood. It's moist. It's soft. You'll be able to. It's just, you feel the softness within the wood, and by making that into a hard piece of wood, the Mishnah Berurah says it's chay b'shlamim
d'atayra. Then someone's got an open fire.
Yes, you may not place absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's going to be bishul. Besides havara and all the yisurim, there's also bishul involved. Absolutely correct. That means that if you are, let's say, you've got in the winter, you've got a nice fireplace and like a fire chimney or whatever, and you are and it's, let's say, it's kept the fire is kept for the whole Shabbos to keep you warm. Which, by the way, was very common in previous generations, and you're going to and you're just placing the wet piece of wood from one place to the other in your house, and you're putting it closer to the fire, and thereby drying it. You're over on bishul min ha-Torah. It sounds bizarre, but it's not bizarre, because what you're really doing, you're making that soft piece of wood, and you're taking the moisture away. It's bishul.
So, same with coal. You wouldn't be able to put coal on the fire.
Then. You're absolutely correct. Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. And that is why, by the way, it's an interesting twist of the Chazon Ish, to put a hot plate, to put things on a hot plate, fine, okay, but you know the blech, the old-fashioned blech, the old-fashioned metal blech, yeah, it's not so common anymore, but I'm sure most of you are brought up with blechs, no? Yeah, the metal, yeah, the thin sheet that looks like an L, right? Yeah, it used to be very common. Yeah, most of you probably brought up with it. You know the metal?
Yeah.
Yeah, the blech. So now, anybody still have the blechs? It's not a good idea. You still have a blech at home? Yeah, very nice. Nice and old-fashioned. Very good. Yeah, so the blech, if you put a blech, do you know what I mean, yeah? If you put a blech on Shabbos, on the flame, there is, according to the Chazon Ish, according to some poskim, there's potentially a problem of mevashel. Why mevashel? Why are you cooking, but you're putting a blech on the fire? It's getting soft. It's
all about the metal.
You're cooking the metal. It won't get soft.
Melting it.
It's not. It won't get soft. So even if it doesn't get soft, it could be that it doesn't get, you can't feel the soft. I hear that. I wouldn't touch it when it's red hot, so I can't tell. But Chazon Ish talks about maybe being chatzishir, maybe you're on the stage towards it. Even if you can't physically feel the softness, it could be it's not soft yet, but it's in the process of, if you would keep it there for a long time, it probably would get soft. After hours and hours being there, you know, the metal would reach a set, it wouldn't. Red hot. So perhaps what the poskim said, it could be it's chatzishir, that it's not fully there yet, but in theory, with no, wouldn't, okay. So I hear, so maybe that's the way, maybe that's so. According to that, you'd be allowed to put the, so according to you, and that's what's many points, can all taka, you'd probably, there's no shiloh bishul, you'd be able to put it on to blech on Shabbos as well. The problem would then be extinguishing the only problem would then remain, the still remaining problem would be to put the blech on, forget about bishul, but to extinguishing the fires to some extent. You're extinguishing some of the fire, perhaps. No. Never? Oh, okay. So if that's the case, there's no problem of visual, and there's no problem okay. So that would be fine. And if both problems don't apply, the truth is that Shulchan Aruch elsewhere does say, we have that later in Reish Nun Gimel Duas Shalach, that it is Takamuta. Okay. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, we learned a bit more about kosher tonight. We learned the halacha of if you've got a rope on both sides, you're allowed to undo one of them for the cow to exit. We're not concerned it's going to be permanent on the other side. Similar with the muzzle as well. To undo one side is fine. We're not concerned the other side is going to remain there forever. Then we start the halachas of bishul, and we defined that we said that bishul is one of the halachas on Shabbos. We learned the definition of bishul has nothing to do with making something not edible into edible. Rather, it's much more to do with changing an item through heat, through heating process, And that is much closer to the definition. And we said it's nothing to do with edible or non-edible items. Could be anything really. And various examples mentioned in the Mishnah Bosef Kot Na'alef. More to follow on this very important melacha tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.